Buenos días.
Buenos días.
En español y en inglés, good morning. Today we're going to be talking about our identity. And I think it's one of the most important subjects in the Bible. Getting past your past can be a challenge, right? Getting past your past can be a challenge. During this series, we will learn that God wants to replace the negative labels or negative identities that hold us back, that hold us down. God wants to replace the negative labels or negative identities that hold us back, things that were maybe said to us, maybe done to us, or maybe things that we've done, right? During this series, we're going to learn that in Christ, Christ has given us a new identity. And that new identity will propel us to a better future. I want to take a minute to welcome everyone. Welcome to Eastlake Church Playas. Come on. Yeah. Yes. Glad that you're here. Everybody that walked in through the door received a program. Inside your program, there's an outline. So please grab your outline because I'm going to give you some good stuff so you guys will be able to fill it out and write it down. Are you guys ready? Okay, here it is. Here's your first one. In this new life with Jesus, there is a new way of living. In this new life with Jesus, there is a new way of living. Andy Stanley, one of my favorite authors, and he's an awesome pastor, very successful pastor, in one of his books called The Principle of Path, said this: direction, not the intention, equals what? Direction, not the intention, equals destination. Where we end up in life professionally, relationally, financially, spiritually, has to do with the direction we choose to travel, the way we choose to live. Right? No one would argue this principle when it comes to driving. Everyone in Tijuana knows that if you want to go to Disneyland, you don't drive south. You'll end up maybe in Puerto Nuevo. You'll probably enjoy some good lobster, right? Some beans, some margaritas. But you're not going to see Mickey Mouse. Right? No Mickey Mouse in Puerto Nuevo. No matter how good your intentions are, direction always determines the destination. The direction always determines the destination. We all know this about driving and travel. But so many of us ignore it in other areas of our life. Right? I watch couples get married with a vision of living happily ever after while embracing relational habits, a pathway, a direction, a way of living that takes them far from the desired destination. I've talked to so many single men and women who dream of meeting that special someone, but engage in dating practices, a way of living, a direction, that leads them to one unhealthy relationship after another. I've watched couples really want to live wisely with their money, but never actually get around to changing their way of living. They don't give, they don't save, or live with margin. And for years, they live paycheck to paycheck with no margin. Nobody plans to end up far from their desired destination. Like if you're going to Disneyland, you want to go to Disneyland, right? Nobody's planning to go to Puerto Nuevo if your direction or your target is Disneyland, right? Nobody plans to end up far from their desired destination, but people often do, because direction, not intention, equals destination. This principle is true in our spiritual life as well. I'm going to explain it for a little bit. Okay? So the Bible says that the moment We believe in Jesus, a savior, in Jesus our Savior. We are made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, and the old is gone, and the new is where?
Here.
It's here. But that's not the end. That's not the finish, and it's the starting line. It's the beginning of our newness. We must become new in Jesus and then stay engaged in the process of becoming new. The direction, the Jesus path, keep growing in Jesus' way of living that leads us to a better destination.
Amen.
A better destination now with peace, with joy, with purpose, and a better life to come. Eternity with God. So in today's section of scripture, Paul writes this and gives us the direction, right? What this new way of living looks like that will lead us to a new destination. And he reveals the key where we get this strength to be able to walk this new Jesus path. So we're going to read in Ephesians 4:21 to 32, all 11 verses. For you, for those of you who have ADD, hey, you can make it, okay? You can make it. So we're going to start with Ephesians 4:21 to 32. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. So since you have heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of living, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use your foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that our words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Do not bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. We made it. Right? Come on.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know that for some of you, that's probably the most Bible you've written in a long time, you know, right? you've read in a long time. Paul tells these new Jesus followers to throw off your sinful nature. Paul tells these Jesus followers to throw off your old sinful nature and to put on your new nature. And then he gives a list of behaviors as an example of what this new life in Jesus looks like. And the difference between the sinful nature and the new nature. But the problem, say with me, the problem. So many people see these verses and immediately make a list. Don't. Here are the rules I need to follow if I'm going to follow Jesus. That's what we do, right? A lot of us. And then we try to get other people that are around us. Don't. But Paul here is not talking about throwing off and putting on behaviors. He's talking about throwing off and putting on a whole new self. You're not who you used to be. You're not who people say you are. You're not who sometimes you think you are. sometimes we're harder on ourselves than anybody else. Right? You're not who you used to be. The Bible says that you're new. Here's your next feeling. Authentic Christianity is being someone before it's doing something. Authentic Christianity is being someone before it's doing something. But so many people get this wrong. They jump straight to the list to get all the behaviors in line. You know, it has to be perfect. You know, they jump straight to the list that says, hey, stop lying, don't get angry, control yourself, quit stealing, don't use abusive language, the don't. But Paul says is that you can't get the list without going through verses 21 to 24. Let's read them. We're going to read them again. Ephesians 4:21-24. It says this: since you have heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature, the former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. This is key right here. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let's read that together. Just verse 23 at the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. See, the list is about what's happening on the outside, the behaviors. And we focus so much on that, on the behaviors, right? And the first three verses are all about what happened and is happening inside. That's what it's talking about. Right? And you can't get the outside right if the inside isn't right. Authentic Christianity works from the inside out, not outside in. I often have conversations with people when, you know, they're checking out the church, they're checking out Christianity, and they start asking these questions, right? And one of the things I love about our church and our church culture is that you can belong before you can believe, right? This is a safe place for you to investigate the story of Jesus, the Bible story. And many times in these conversations, people will quickly jump into these questions about behavior. Hey, pastor, if I become a Christian and, you know, and I start to follow Jesus, will I have to stop sleeping with my girlfriend and boyfriend? Hey, pastor, if I, you know, become a Christian and I start following Jesus, will I have to forgive my sister and my brother and my mother and my father who hurt me? See, these questions are all about behavior. Right? And when I answer these questions, I do it very reluctantly. Right? And I say something like this: well, yes, you know, yes. There will be some changes in behavior. Because Jesus offers us a new way of living, a new path that leads to a better destination, yeah. Yeah, but you're asking the wrong set of questions. Authentic Christianity is about becoming a new person. That's your next feeling. Authentic Christianity is about becoming a new person before it's about adopting new behaviors. If you just became a new Christian and your focus is on behaviors, you're focusing on the wrong thing. I went through that in the beginning. And I wasn't very pleasant. No, I wasn't reaching anyone for Jesus. I was scaring them. You know? Because I was focused on the behaviors. Don't drink, don't smoke, and don't hang out with people that do. You know what I'm saying? Don't dance, don't go to the movies. You can't read this, you can't wear that. You know? I think I even told my wife, hey, you're not going to be wearing pants anymore, you know? Just a skirt and nylons and no earrings and no makeup and all that stuff. And it's like, what? But it happens. It happens. Biblical Christianity is not becoming a nice or moral person. It's about becoming a whole new person. If you would have done a survey maybe 40 or 50 years ago, and you would have asked questions about morality and about sexual behavior, about what people thought was wrong and right, by and large, the majority would line up with what the Bible said 40, 50 years ago. You forward to now, that's gone. Those who follow and believe biblical ethics would be the minority. Not the majority today. And a lot of people ask, well, what happened? What happened? Well, let me tell you what happened. There was a lot of, my first year as being a Christian, there was a lot of me out there, you know, a lot of moral people, right? In our past history, we had the majority of people who threw off and put on morality. What happened? That's what happened. The majority of people threw off and put on morality. Can't do this. Can't do that. You're trying to talk to people about Jesus and you're like, you got to stop doing this. You got to stop doing that. You can't do this. You can't do that. Don't go to the movies. Don't go dancing. Don't go. Don't drink. Well, don't drink. You're not going to, you have beer in your refrigerator. Send it to my house. I'll drink it. You know? You know what I'm saying? It's not about that. It's not about that. We focus on our behaviors. We were focusing on behaviors. And the reason people believe, and back in those days, the reason people believed what they believed and acted the way they acted in public was social pressure. It was the expectation from the outside of what behaviors were acceptable. If you're going to be a Christian, this is how a decent Christian lives. You don't do this and you don't do that and you don't go there. And the majority fell in line. Right? If you're going to be part of this church, you're going to, you know, or else I'm going to kick you out. Funny, but it's true, right? It's true, though.
Hey, I'm on your side.
Bam. I'm on Jesus' side. You know? But now that the social pressure is gone, you have the conservative Christians crying out, we've changed as a country. We've gone away from God. That's how you're here too, right? Am I doing a good job? Yeah. We've gone away from God. Repent. But I would say we were never that close to God. The inside, the heart of most were never really following Jesus. There was just outside pressure. Yeah. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't. That was the focus. Right? I need to, where am I at? But I actually think what happened is that there were just outside pressure, and now that that's gone, the people are living now however they want. And I think that's better for the gospel. What? Yes. People aren't trying to be or act religious or appear to be something they're not. At least not here in this church. We lights on, windows open. I mean, if you've been to my house to one of our growth groups, hey, I'll let you know what's going on. I'll let you know where we've been. I'll let you know where I came from. I've been to prison, was a drug addict, been deported. You know? And I'm not shy about it. Because I know by me telling my story will offer, give somebody hope. That's why I'm not shy about it. You ask me, I'll tell you. I'm not perfect. I'm not super holy. Well, I'm holy because of Jesus. That's why I'm holy. I'm a saint because Jesus says I'm a saint. Not because of my behavior. I'm like, for those of you who know me, I'm once in a while, you know. You know what I'm saying? Blah, blah, blah. Whoops. Sorry, Lord. Forgive me. You know? I mean, people, so now that the pressure is not there, it actually is better for the gospel. People aren't trying to act religious or appear to be something they're not. And I believe this Jesus story has a chance to thrive. Because we're not inviting people to this religious behavior modification. I mean, for those of you who are here and continue to come, I mean, has anybody like been drilling you because of bah, bah, bah? No. No. Right? If anybody has done that, please let me know. You know? Because that's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to focus on the behaviors. We're not trying to do that. The gospel invites people to experience a new life. The one that changes us from the inside out. So what does it mean to change on the inside? Here's your next fill-in. What does it look like? New set of motives. New set of motives. When we focus on knowing Jesus and letting him do his good work in us, rather than focusing on getting all of our behaviors in line, his spirit will begin to give us the desires, the motives, the want to, for all the right reasons, to live in this new Jesus way. It's right here, and I'm making it up. Philippians 2:13 is on the screen. For God is working in you and giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So what happens is that as we open our heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is doing his work. But during this time, we were like, Lord, nothing's happening. Lord, you're not answering my prayers. Lord, I don't see anything. Lord, what is happening? Hey, you don't pay attention to me. What is going on? But he's in there. Do we feel it? We don't feel it. Do we see it? We don't see it. But he's working. He's working deep inside of you. And what will begin to happen is you start to see your motives start to change in the deepest level. Not motivated to follow this new Jesus path out of fear or social pressure or religious obligation. But the want to comes out of a genuine gratitude because we've been given this incredible gift of grace in Jesus. It's an incredible gift. Thank you, Lord. It's a free gift. You don't have to work for it. That is what will drive. The gratitude will drive, motivate you with the right behaviors. Not the people or yourself that you're being hard on yourself. You're no good. You're a big loser. And maybe your wife or your husband is like, you good, no good for nothing and all this stuff. Get your poo-poo together and all this stuff, right? I mean, that's how we are sometimes. We're trying to motivate people by fear. I mean, I did that. It doesn't work. Now my wife thinks I'm soft because I don't do that anymore. And if something happened, babe, you know, right? Jesus happened. Yeah. You know, another aspect of truly changing on the inside is a new identity. New identity. This is what this series is all about. Helping us see our true identity in Christ. We as we throw off our old nature and put on this new nature, we should see ourselves more and more by the identity God placed on us and less by the identity of others or even the identity that we put on ourselves, that you are no good, that you are a loser, that you're never going to do anything. And or we think that we are who people say we are because of what they've done to us. You're a this and you're a that. But God says that we are loved. God says we are chosen. God says we are adopted. God says we are blessed. God says we are filled. God says we are alive. God says we're strong. God says we're gifted. And have been made new and being made new. As we grow in this identity, we will begin to have a new view. That's your next feeling. A new view. Our new identity in Christ begins to change how we view everything that happens to us in this life. The rejection, the disappointments, the failure, the success. We will begin to filter those experiences in life through this new foundation in Christ. And a new foundation of identity in Christ. But the key to this change happening on the inside, the key to being made new and becoming new is this. We're going to read it again. You know, as a matter of fact, read it with me. At the count, here it is, it's on the screen. At the count of three. Ephesians 23. 1, 2, 3. Again. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. God says we are loved. It doesn't matter if you feel it, sometimes our feelings are wrong. God says we are loved. God says we are chosen. God says we are adopted. God says we've been blessed. God says we've been filled. God says we're alive, that we're strong and we're gifted. I'm going to choose to believe that. I don't care what the U.S. government says about me, that I'm a drug addict, that I'm deported, that I'm this and that. God says that I'm loved. God says that I'm blessed, adopted, a child of God. You guys are children of God. And you guys are my brothers and sisters. Now, invite me for lunch. It doesn't say that to make yourself new. It doesn't say that. Now go and make yourself new. It doesn't say that. Or work really hard to get all your thoughts and your attitudes and behaviors in line with Jesus. Does it say that? It doesn't say that. Being made new is not something you can do. It's something we receive. You receive it. The word renew or renewed, one of the meanings is to have your imagination and your imagination captured. This is key to living this new life and walking in this new path. It doesn't say try harder or behave better. I mean, if that's where you're at, hey, keep going. And if you're thinking, hey, you're wrong, and we'll get the Ten Commandments and get all the rest of the laws that they have. They're like 613. Put them on your fridge and go for it. And when you realize that you can't, then you can come to Jesus. Because that is the purpose of the law. To get you to a point where you say, you know what? I can't do it. That's what it's for. You can read it. Galatians. Focus on opening your heart wide open to Jesus. Let his spirit invade your life and learn to have your imagination captivated with his love and his grace extended to us. Live from that place. Let his spirit renew you from the inside. And the natural results will be love, peace, self-control. You'll be a truth teller. Forgiveness. Those are the results. I mean, look at the big difference, right? If you put on more morals, and you try to live like this is the Jesus path, you're going to scare people away. You're not going to bring anybody to Jesus. But it's two different ways. Man, I like the Jesus way better than all the legalistic stuff. I know that there's a battle in our minds every day. I experience it too, not because I'm here, I don't go through it. I go through it every day. That's why this teaching, this identity is so important to us. Because I know that in your minds, you're no good. You're just a big loser. You're never going to do anything with your life. Or you think that you are a whatever because your ex or whatever says that those things about you or what was done to you, and you think that that's who you are because you were treated like that. I mean, imagine if I would have believed that, you know, you're a drug. Once an addict, always an addict. No. I was an addict for 10 years. I was smoking crystal meth. 10 years. Been in prison, ate top ramen like crazy in there. But if I were to been stuck with that, you know, I wouldn't be here right now. Because as God is asking you to take that step, to get out of the boat, to take your next step, to cross the Jordan, whatever it is that he's asking you to do, you need to have some understanding of who you are, or else you're not going to take that step. You're going to believe that you're a loser, that you're this and you're that. And then kick your butt. That's why this identity thing is so important. Very important. You're loved. You're chosen. You're adopted. You're blessed. You've been filled. You're alive, you're strong, you're gifted, you've been sealed. Yeah. with the Holy Spirit. That's a guarantee. So we're going to close with an opportunity to have your imagination captivated, right? By God's love. What we're going to do, we're going to share communion together. And I want to invite you and urge you to fully engage in this moment. Let this moment today be the day that you get renewed. To have your imagination captured. Communion is a reminder that we cannot make ourselves new, but we are forgiven and made new and are being made new in Christ. Here at East Lake Church, we practice open communion. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to go to a class or anything like that. I want to urge you. I want to invite you, if you're a Jesus follower, or if you're not a Jesus follower and you've heard me talk and you got the Holy Spirit is touching your heart and knocking on your door, let him in and let this communion be your yes to him. So please grab your elements. Open them up. As we come to this moment, think of Jesus and what he means to you. I also want to remind you that we're in the process. We're in the process of putting off the old corrupting sinful self and putting on the new self, which is getting stronger day by day. Eventually we will be glorious and perfect when we reunite with God, because of what Jesus has done for us. He paid the price. He took off his beauty and glory so we can put on beauty and glory. Until then, we are being renewed by his Spirit. And communion is a reminder of what Jesus did for us. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment of silence. And I want you to just close your eyes and think of things that are happening in your life. Maybe things that you did, some sin that's like, you know, smacking you around. And just say, I'm sorry, Lord. Maybe for those who have not said yes to Jesus and today you want to say yes to him, just say, Lord, come into my life. I want what you have to offer me. Just take a moment of silence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. On the night before he was crucified, Jesus was hanging out with his disciples and having dinner. And he took some bread and broke it and said, "This is my body that was given for you. Take this. In remembrance of me." Let's take the bread. And he took the cup. And he said, "This is my blood that was poured out for you. Take this in remembrance of me." Let's take the cup. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for all that you do, all that you are. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us. Holy Spirit, I know that you're here. I know that you're here. And we thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.